Take your copy of God's Word with me and open it up to the book of Genesis, once again, chapter 32. In a moment, we're going to begin reading in verse 22 through the end of the chapter. Genesis chapter 32, verse 22. A few years ago, there was a man by the name of Toby Burke who went with his wife and small children to the Kenai National Wildlife Refuge. They went in order to go bird watching. Well, in addition to seeing a lot of birds, they also spotted a bear, which really would not have been such a problem except for the fact that the bear also spotted them and began to run immediately towards them. Well, you gotta give credit to Mr. Burke. He heroically put himself in between the bear and his family, and for several terrorizing minutes, he literally, physically fought that bear. Eventually, the bear lost interest. It got bored. It went away. Mr. Burke was injured, but he survived, and his family survived as well. I'm sure that wrestling a bear is a frightening thing. But let me tell you something that is even more frightening than that. Wrestling with God. I'm not talking about a literal wrestling match. I'm talking about those times in your life where it seems like, it feels like you are wrestling with God. And if we are really honest, we have all been there at some point. Maybe you're there right now. Maybe you are frustrated because you don't understand some trial that is taking place. Maybe you're frustrated over some loss God allowed you to experience. Perhaps you're angry because you prayed for one thing, but God chose to give you something else. Maybe you're wrestling with God's will for your life. Maybe you're wrestling with who is going to be in control of your life. But anybody who tells you they've never wrestled with God, they either don't know God or they haven't walked with Him for very long, because at some point we're all going to be there. This morning we're going to look at the rest of a story that we began last Sunday. God told Jacob, it's time to return home. It's time to go back to your family. And that means Jacob has to face his brother Esau. His brother who 20 years earlier swore that he would kill Jacob, and he hasn't seen him since. Jacob's heart is full of fear. And last Sunday, we read that story. We saw that it has a very happy ending. But before Jacob and Esau meet one another, the night before, something very interesting takes place, and this is what we're going to focus on this morning. Jacob was involved in a wrestling match. Literally, it was the fight of his life. And we're going to see this morning, as real as this wrestling match was, it was also a picture of how Jacob has been wrestling with God. And so we're going to see some things that we need to remember in those times of life where it seems like, it feels like we are wrestling with God as well. Now, we're going to move around a little bit in this passage, so I want to start off just by reading it in its entirety, starting in verse 22. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Just as he crossed over Penuel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip and the muscle that shrank. As I said, there are three things we're going to see this morning, three lessons we need to remember when it seems like we are wrestling with God. First of all, in those moments, remember, there's a solitude that God wants you to experience. There's a solitude God wants you to experience. Now, notice in verse 22, Jacob crosses over this ford in the river. This particular place was called Jabbok. As we have seen over and over and over again in our study of Genesis, every time you see the name of a place where something significant happens, that name is never an accident. Over and over again, it is significant. And Jabbok means place of emptying, place of pouring out, because there is an emptying and a pouring out that is about to take place in Jacob's life. You see, God will not fill us until he empties us. He will not fill us with the Holy Spirit until he empties us of sin. He will not fill us with power until he empties us of pride. He will not fulfill his plan for us until he empties us of our agendas. And Jacob needs to be emptied. So he crosses this place called Jabbok. He sent his wife and his kids ahead. But then notice in verse 24, it says, "Then Jacob was left alone." Don't skip over that statement. Jacob is alone with God, which is exactly where he needs to be. It's very interesting when you look at Jacob's life. Twice he has some encounter. Twice there will be some kind of event in which he has a personal encounter with God, and all of his life will revolve around these two moments. And both of these times, it happens when Jacob is alone with God. 20 years earlier, he was alone with God at Bethel when he put his head on that stone and fell asleep and had that dream of the stairway to heaven. And now here he is once again by himself, alone with God, when he has this great experience. Now listen to me closely. The greatest battles in life are not fought in public. The greatest battles in life really are fought in private, when it's just you and God. We see this in the ministry of Jesus. We know he died for our sins at Calvary. But where, oh where, did he really win that battle? He won that battle when he was alone with his Father in Gethsemane, sweat, as it were, drops of blood falling from his brow. And he said, "If it's your will, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." It was in that moment, in that place of solitude with the Father, that the battle was really won. In times of solitude, that's when you hear God speak. That is when your will surrenders to God's will. That is where the emptying takes place in your life. But the problem for most of us is, instead of embracing solitude, we run from it. And it is getting worse and worse. It's as if we'd rather fill our lives with noise and people and activity and all kinds of commotion. We can't get away from our screen time enough to get alone with God. I wonder if God has a message. Maybe he's been whispering to you, but you just haven't been quiet enough to listen. Now, I realize what I'm saying here is very, very basic, but it's so very important. It's always important that we get alone with God. Oh, but when you're wrestling with God, when you're going through those valleys, it's all the more important to have those times of solitude when you are alone with God. When you're wrestling with God, there's a solitude God wants you to experience, but then there's a second thing. There's a brokenness God wants to produce. There's a brokenness that he wants to produce in your life. A.W. Tozer once said, "The Lord cannot fully bless a man until he has conquered him." And that is what God's going to do in the second part of verse 24. Jacob is left alone. Notice this. "And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day." Boy, that's sudden, isn't it? It's like running into a brick wall. Here is Jacob, he's alone, and all of a sudden, he's wrestling. Now, it doesn't say that Jacob wrestled with the man. Notice it says that the man wrestled with Jacob. In other words, Jacob wasn't looking for the fight. The fight came to him. And here is this wrestling match that Jacob is involved in with someone, and there are a couple of things that we don't know. There's some details that we don't have. We're not completely certain who this is Jacob is fighting. Verse 24 refers to him as a man. In the book of Hosea, it's referred to as an angel. Later on in verse 30, Jacob makes this statement, "I've seen God face to face," which is why there are some people who believe that what you have here is an appearance of the pre-incarnate Christ. Now, personally, I believe that God sent an angel in the appearance of a man. I believe verse 30 is figurative. We're not for certain. We also don't know how exactly this fight got started. I mean, normally, when you see two guys fighting, somebody did something to someone. Someone said something. Someone cut somebody off in traffic. Somebody insulted someone's mama. Something happened, and then the fight got started. But we're reading this story, and it's like the fight just happened out of nowhere. And we don't exactly know how. Well, the Bible doesn't tell us, because that's not what matters. What matters is that this wrestling place that took place physically was a picture of what has been happening spiritually in Jacob's life. He's been saved for 20 years, but as we're going to see, he still needs to be broken. Notice again in verse 25. "Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him." The angel was not prevailing against Jacob. Now, it's pretty obvious when we read this that the angel was holding back, right? This is like when dad wrestles on the floor with his 2-year-old son or daughter. The kid only wins if dad allows them to win. Well, Jacob and this angel have been wrestling for hours, and then finally, all the angel has to do is touch his hip, and just like that, it's out of socket. I found out in preparing this message that the hip joint is the biggest joint in the body. I did not know that. Can you imagine how painful this must have been for Jacob? And not only was it painful, It was debilitating because when you lose your hips, you lose your legs. And when you are a wrestler, the legs are the most important part of your body. So notice what God does. He takes the point of Jacob's greatest strength and turns it into his point of greatest weakness. Look at verse 27. So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." You know why the angel asked Jacob for his name? I believe it's because the last time in the book of Genesis, someone asked Jacob for his name, remember what he did? He lied. He said to his father, "I am Esau." The angel knew who Jacob was. He wanted Jacob to admit to who he was, because you'll never be right with God until you admit who you are and what you are before him. And so the angel asked him, "What is your name?" And he says, "Jacob." It's like the angel is saying, "That's right, Jacob. You're that guy who likes to take over and do things your way. You're that guy who likes to figure everything out on your own." Just like last week, when Jacob found out that Esau was coming with 400 men, "Well, we'll just divide everybody up into two groups. That way, when Esau attacks one of them, at least half of us will survive." That's not trusting God. That's not living by faith. That's Jacob still scheming. Let me remind you, that name Jacob comes from the Hebrew word for heel, because when his twin brother Esau was born, Jacob literally grabbed his heel, and sure enough, that's how he went about life for many years. You want something, grab it. Do whatever you have to do to whoever you have to do it to. If you got to swindle your brother out of his birthright, do it. If you got to lie to your father, do it. And so the question for Jacob, Mr. Heel Grabber, is this: are you going to continue to live up to your name? Look at verse 28. And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." A new name means a new beginning. And Jacob's new name comes from that word meaning to struggle. Jacob had to struggle. He had to be confronted with some things. He had to experience some brokenness. You know, we are so different from God. We will not use things that are broken. God won't use things that are not broken. We see this over and over again in the Bible, the story, this theme of God using broken people, God using broken things to do his work so that he alone gets all of the glory. We see this in all of life. It takes broken ground to produce harvest. It takes broken clouds to produce the rain. It takes broken grain to produce bread. It takes broken bread to produce strength. Again and again, God uses what is broken in our lives. And God had to break Jacob. He had to break him in order to bless him. We're the same way. There's this famous verse, maybe some of you know it by heart, Jeremiah 17:9. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Take a close look at that verse. The heart is what? Say one more time. The heart is what? Deceitful. Did you know what that word is in the original language? It's actually the first word of the verse, and it literally is Jacob. Jacob. Jacob is the heart. Deceitful is the heart. In other words, there's a little bit of Jacob in all of us. We're all prone to wander. We all tend to play games. And we rely on self instead of God. And we want to do things our way instead of God's way. And so there's this breaking that has to take place. And God allows us to be hurt. He allows us to become weak. He allows us to reach that place where our strength is gone. So all we can do is cry out for His. When I think about this story and what God is doing in Jacob's life, what God wants to do in our lives, there's this image that comes to mind, and perhaps you've seen this before, that image of a horse that has to be broken. And it has so much strength, so much power, so much speed. It can be used in so many ways, and it can do so many things. But first, it has to be broken. So it is with us as well. Maybe that's exactly what God is doing in some of your lives today. And if so, let me encourage you and remind you, you're actually in very good company. You're in very good company. You remember the Apostle Paul when he had that thorn in the flesh? 2 Corinthians 12, and he prayed for God to remove it three times, and three times God said no, and finally he said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness." Paul, when you're weak, when you're broken, that's when my strength kicks in. When you feel like you are wrestling with God, remember there's a solitude God wants you to experience. There's a brokenness that God wants to produce. But here's the best part. There's a blessing God wants to bestow. There's a blessing God wants to bestow. Now go back to verse 26. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Sky's getting a little bit lighter. Soon the sun is going to rise. The angel says, "Hey, let me go." Not sure where he needs to be. Maybe angel choir practice is getting ready to start. He's in a hurry. "Hey, the day breaks. Let me go." Now, we know that angel could free himself at any point of his choosing. The question is, how long will Jacob last? How long will he continue this fight? And here's the answer in verse 26. He says, "I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." Now, that's not something you say to any normal wrestler in any normal kind of fight. Jacob clearly understands there's something supernatural that's going on here. And so he says, no matter how much it hurts, no matter how long it lasts, no matter how hard it may be, I'm going to hold on until the blessing is mine. Notice verse 29. Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. Why do you ask about my name? Now, that's an interesting question. Well, gee, I don't know. Maybe because you attacked me in the middle of the night. Maybe because you dislocated my hip and you changed my name. I just thought it might help to know your name when I'm telling this story to my friends. Well, we don't know his name because, again, that's not what matters. But what we are told in verse 29 is that Jacob received the blessing he wanted. And I bet this was so hilarious. Imagine Jacob hasn't slept all night. He's been wrestling all night long. Imagine what he looks like. Imagine what he smells like. He's got dirt, grime and sweat all over his body. His clothes are tattered and torn. His hair in every direction. Cuts, bruises all over his face and his body. And he finally catches up with his family and they see him. And someone says, "Jacob, what happened?" And he grins from ear to ear and he says, I got blessed. Oh, he had to hold on for it, but he got it all right. He's got his hip. He's got his limp. He's not moving as fast as he used to move, not as strong physically as he once was, but listen, spiritually, he's stronger than he has ever been before. Now, what kind of blessing, you ask, did Jacob want? What kind of blessing was he asking for? He's already been blessed financially. God has made him a rich man. That's not the blessing that he is seeking. I believe the answer to that is in the very next verse when he says, I have seen God's face. The blessing is the blessing of knowing God, the blessing of closeness and intimacy with God, the blessing of being used by God, the blessing of God's power, the blessing of God's presence in Jacob's life. Oh, that's the blessing that he wants. And somehow he knows this man, this angel that he's wrestling with, is able to give him that blessing. And he decides he is not letting go until he receives it. So again, what do you do? What do you do when you feel like you are wrestling with God like Jacob? Hold on. What do you do when it seems like your prayers are not being answered? Hold on. What do you do when it doesn't appear that there is any kind of light at the end of the tunnel? You hold on. What do you do when God seems distant? What do you do when God seems cold or even cruel? You hold on. You hold on to God. That's what you do. And God hasn't promised you that you'll get the job that you want or the promotion you think you deserve or the healing that you long for. What he does promise you is himself. God himself is the blessing. And if there's anything else that you're truly seeking in life this morning, let me tell you, whatever that is, it does not compare to the blessing of knowing God. I read about a study that was done by the Berlin Academy of Music, and they researched hundreds of violin players, pretty accomplished violin players, and they put them all into three groups. In group number one, you had the elite, the world-class performers, the best in the world. That was group number one. In group number two, you had what they called high-level performers, professionals. They make their living playing violin, but not quite good enough to be in group number one. And then in group number three, you have what they call good players, but not professional. They studied all of these players, and they discovered that they all started learning the violin at pretty much the same age. But when they got to the age of eight, their practice habits began to diverge. And here's what they discovered. That between the ages of 8 and 20, the good players practiced on average about 4,000 hours on the violin. They discovered that the high-level performers, group number two, on average, they practiced about 8,000 hours. And the world-class performers, the elite, the very best, they practiced on average about 10,000 hours. I tell you all of that to get to this. Here's the conclusion that they arrived at. Listen to this. Persistence is the magic bullet, not aptitude. That was their conclusion. Persistence is the magic bullet, not aptitude. Ladies and gentlemen, so it is in the spiritual life. It's not about aptitude. God has given to each and every one of us the same capacity to be able to know Him and love Him and serve Him. It's not about aptitude. It's about persistence. Persistence in prayer. Persistence in God's Word. Persistence in worship. Persistence in being faithful. Psalm 35 says that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. There may be that time of weeping, but if you're persistent, if you hang on, the blessing will come. Jacob wrestled with God. But today, ladies and gentlemen, the reason why we can be saved and the reason why we can know God personally is because Jesus came from heaven to earth, and here's what He did. He fought a battle we could not fight, and Jacob could not fight. He won a battle that we could not win, and Jacob could never win. That battle against sin and death, when He died on the cross and He rose again, Jacob held on to the angel in order to get a blessing for himself. 2,000 years ago, Jesus held on to the cross so that He could bring the blessing of salvation to whosoever will believe in Him and whosoever will call upon Him as Lord. That's the blessing that God is offering to you and to me this morning in Christ Jesus. You join me as we pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we confess there have been times where it felt like we were wrestling with You. But we thank You that even in those moments, You're good, You're faithful, You're in control, You have a plan, You know what You are doing. So help us, even in those moments, to trust You, to get alone with You. Maybe some of us this morning need to experience brokenness. Maybe there's some here today who need to truly be broken over their sin, perhaps for the very first time, seeing who they are before a holy God, recognizing just how bad our sin is. So bad that it took nothing less than the sacrifice of the Son of God on the cross for us to be saved. Help us to see our sin and help us to see ourselves for who we truly are. Yes, God, bring about that brokenness in our lives, not so that we would remain broken, but so that on the other side we would get to the blessing. The blessing of knowing You through Jesus Christ, or the blessing of knowing You more, of intimacy, closeness, fellowship with You. Oh, that is our heart's desire. And so, God, I pray this morning that You'd move and help us to see each and every one of us how to apply these truths to our lives. God, I pray if there's even one person here today who has never reached that point in their life, who's never been born again, that this would be that day that they surrender and say, right now, Jesus, all that I am and all that I have, I surrender to You as Lord of my life. Have Your way in these next moments, and we will give You all the honor and the glory. We pray in Jesus' name.